6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
We have a lot of experience with this because our size has varied from just Rich and I and two others at the beginning days to Rich and I and 50 others.
A book club that is niched to a genre of books, I think, is far more likely for success than a broad type, just books of any genre. What's our boundary of the type of person we want in the community? Salty is it. He's our fence.
If anyone's going to get banned, okay. Well, if they're worse, than Salty, then
they're
they got to get banned. Welcome back to the Tudor Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
I'm your other host, Richard.
Book clubs. How to run a successful book club. Rich and I have had a book club online now for over 2 years. And a book club, we have currently 262 members paying $10 a month. It is our Patreon that we advertise, obviously, all the time. And we're using this not just because if you're already our patrons and support, thank you, first of all. But we're using this as an opportunity to advise to anybody out there how we run a book club. If you're looking to either start a book club, join a book club,
or we're gonna revamp your own, like try to make your current online book club better, you can listen to what we did. Maybe you'll learn something, or maybe you won't. Maybe you'll go like, hey, I want to do the opposite of what they did. But
they messed up.
This is what we did.
Yes. And with that being said, we have six steps to go through of how do we run this? How does it work? What to expect? And these are the struggles you'll go through because you'd think a book club is kind of simple, but you'll see as the six steps that we have laid out of it took us 2 years to finally get to a point where it runs on its own. It's very fun. We are very hands off a lot of the times now because the book club has gotten to a place where it's a thing of its own at this point. And like I said, having 262 members in there, how to handle it with that size, how to even get members to begin with. We're going to give all that. Want to start, Rich? We'll say step one.
Sure.
Okay. Step one.
Step one. Obviously, finding members. This step will probably be the least applicable to most people in the situation that, like, how we found it.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched a ton of our stuff, we were doing YouTube for at least about a year, maybe a little bit less, before we started our Patreon book club. And from there, we found members through our YouTube. People watch our reviews of books. They like listening to us talk about books. And they go, hey, I want to talk about books with them in more in person, like live. Yep. And so they join the book club. It's a very obvious funnel, like, that makes sense. The through line works.
Yes.
How you will apply it is, you know, kind of up to you. But I will try and give some insight of why ours worked the way it did. a lot of that does have to do with niching down. People join our book club not just because we rate books, but because when they watch our videos and watch our reviews, they go, hey, I like these type of books. And the books that these guys are reviewing are my type of books. And so if you want to read more books like it and they want that kind of influence, they will join a book club like that. So people are subscribing to some degree to the genre of books that we read. So at least in our opinion, our experience, a book club that is niched to a genre of books, I think is far more likely for success than a broad type, just books of any genre.
Think about when you try to get a movie night going with your friends and you go, okay, let's have a movie night Friday. Let's all watch a film. And then someone goes, oh, okay, it's going to be a horror flick tonight. And, or somebody else goes, let's do a comedy that night. Just naturally, if you shoot that out to a dozen friends, you're going to get a lot less people interested just because of the genre of. I know some of our friends who hate horror flicks. Nick will never watch a horror film. Yeah. Not Nick, editor. Hey, Nick, editor Nick, our other friend Nick, our old roommate Nick. And there's some who don't want to watch, obviously, epics as well. Who wants to sit and watch a 3.5 hour movie when, oh, I just came for an hour, hour and a half movie on a Friday? I mean, me too. But the point being, if you want people to be invested and interested in the first place, everybody having the proper expectations. Books and stories themselves start in the part one of a book. The hook is, oh, here's what to expect. Here's what I'm going to pay off by the end reader. Do the same thing with your book club. Go, okay, this is our kind of genre. This is our style. People also expect when they watch our reviews, the kind of style of reviews we do. We get in depth, we ramble, we go talk about the message and themes and the plot. And this, if that's your thing, that's what we do in the book club. And how our book club functions, which we'll get into more as well. We host a book club every month, but also the community hosts book clubs. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. This is just finding members, but a part of that finding people to join your book club is, what can you offer them? And what we offer, that we offer, hey, it's us who have been reviewing books, but also we can offer a certain style of review. You know what to expect going in. If that's your thing, then you would be inclined to join the book club. Also, you can expect to join a community, is what we offer. So it's not just a book club, but like-minded individuals who also want to chat with not just you and I, but other people in the book club that they meet. The amount of friend groups that are formed, there's several friend groups, to the point where Rich and I traveled to Salt Lake City, Utah at Dragonsteel when we went to that convention and hung out at the Airbnb with a bunch of their actual friends. It's not just book club members, but they're friends who sometimes pay us $10 a month. It's weird, right?
That was weird.
It's very strange.
Leaving the first day of the Airbnb going like, yeah, that new group of friends that we now have. Each of them pay us $10 a month.
But they're
that's
awesome.
Weird.
They're awesome. So most of them are, except Coop.
Most of them. I like Coop more than him. There's a reason why he avoids Coop all the time. Yeah, it's a thing.
It just had to happen.
He just has a thing with, you know, tall people.
He
just is really intimidated. Yeah. So I'm not so, brazen with it. So I'm more accepting.
Yes, you are. I like Coop more, when I'm away, distance makes the heart grow fonder.
Perspective distance. Yeah. With him next to something very tall, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You look like a normal height person.
He passed my head too often. I don't like it. But yeah, so to the point where the book clubs can get that, you can get that much of a connection. So from our experience in a book club, if this is your thing, if you're watching a video on YouTube about books and stuff, you don't even have to join ours. Just look for something in the area or something that is just cool for you, because we'll get into the next step. Anything else for finding members? Because I think niching and the way we did with having a platform is what helped.
This will be a theme throughout all of these things.
Yeah.
In general, this is kind of a lesson of marketing and business, is people do not like options. People don't want a wide variety of choices. The more choices you give someone, the more chaos it invites and ultimately indecision. That's why niching down in a book club. So they go, what book do I want to read, or what should I join? If it's just every type of book, it's too many options. It's like, oh, sci-fi fantasy. Yeah, I like that genre. I know what I'm going to expect. I don't have to think about too many different options. It's a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
That will be carried through the rest of these steps as well.
Yes. And now the very next thing, step two, ready for that?
Step two.
So step two, first, finally, remember, step two is are the rules and the barrier to entry, essentially gatekeeping your book club. And we're saying this essentially from, especially from our experience, gatekeeping, our gatekeeping method is, hey, it costs $10 a month to join our book club. The reason we do that, there's a lot of reasons. The first reason we do that is the exclusivity makes the person who would be joining that book club a lot more invested in it to begin with. You know, you're getting more serious people, people that actually want to do said thing, rather than if you look at our channel right now, look down and see the subscribe button, or if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, whatever, look at the reviews we have and how many people are watching. That button has no barrier to entry. Just click it. Click subscribe. And you can see if we have 40 something thousand subscribers, the views on this video won't be that much because not every person's watching all of our stuff. The barrier to entry is very low. It's super easy to subscribe. But to go pay $10, then join a book club on Discord, and your likelihood to participate and get a serious person who's not just there to cause chaos is far less.
Well, there's also an aspect of commitment that is important. At a certain point, especially in the very beginning, the people that did join, it was very important that we had some layer of consistency, because let's say when we first started out, when we had a handful of people, that we had five people show up for a book club, we needed every one of those people needed to show up. We needed them. And that way, for the next person joining, that they see that there are five people there. If there's a big difference from five dedicated people that are showing up and are interested and motivated to talk and are super entrenched in the community, that's very different from 100 atomized people that like may show up, may not, kind of go AFK. You have no idea. Give me five dedicated people over 100 randos any day.
Yeah, so especially the analogy of paying for gym membership. $10 for Planet Fitness or a Gold's Gym. That's way more than I think Gold's Gym, like 50, 60 bucks. It's different prices.
It is, yes.
And so then you have your gyms. There's your high quality or luxury gyms that cost $200-$300. Now, the $200-$300 gyms, your likelihood of going to that gym is far higher, or they're just so rich, they're just paying for the largest membership in Tokyo.
Actually, I'll add a story of like, again, exclusivity is the biggest thing I think generally people pay for. Like, I think a carryover. The richer you get, the more expensive and the more valuable it is to you of exclusivity, and you carry that lesson down. Like, I think that's applicable to any person, but you can kind of see it in the mega wealthy. Compared to gyms, when I went to my $15 a month gym, that was, you know, cheaper gym, the equipment was incredibly nice. Some of the best equipment that I've used in
a
gym.
Was it the gym I went to with you? Or great gym.
Great gym, great solid equipment. But you know what was not great?
The benches were taken
a lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people. It was so packed. Yeah. Just the amount of people. It was loud. You know, at 5 o'clock or, you know, 5:30, all the kids are getting off and the high schoolers are there and kind of taking up time and equipment. They have their own little groups and they're kind of hanging around the bench press. You know, when I go to my gym right now costs $90 a month. Mm-hmm. The equipment is not as good as the other gym. But you know what? There's less people. I can always get a bench press. I go to any machine. There's always a machine for me. And it's quiet. There's no high school kids going to a $90 gym. It's only adults. It's only like well-paid working adults that go to this gym. I love it. I will take the exclusivity over price and value.
It's so exclusive. When we went to record our Acomath video, the follow-up to our Acotar, and I was going there for a day because I don't go to your gym. We live 25 minutes away. So when I was going to your gym, even to have a day pass, it costs, what, $20?
I paid $20 for a
$20 for a
day pass.
And the other gym,
I think he just ripped me off, but that's fine.
I can't believe most gyms just do it free day pass.
Yeah,
this one didn't even
do
that.
You get one or two.
$20 for a day pass, but so exclusive to the point where applying this to to a book club, the gatekeeping for us, $10 a month to join this book club. Our friends at first, when we were starting off our book club, were saying, you guys should do five. Ten's a bit much. Like, mm-hmm. You guys should do $5 for people to join your book club. In hindsight, we wish we did higher.
Yeah.
not for the monetary reasons, because basically if we had a $20 book club but half the members and still made the same amount, there's still value there of the members that you have are joining. They're very, it's how invested do you want your book club members to be? And the problem that Rich and I have as the book club has grown is a book club can get too big. If you have too many members, obviously the thing about a book club is discussion. Of if you're sitting at a table with five of your friends, everybody's going to get to talk. You watch our podcast here where we have two guests on, three guests on, everybody gets to say their piece. When we have no guests and it's just you and I, we get to say all of our thoughts. If we have even a third guest, there's, you know, we get 10, 20% less to speak because there's more people there. So that was, how would you say we handled that struggle of
we're still doing it.
Well, we are, but that's one of the reasons of the exclusivity. Let's say you get so many members, like that's a good problem to have, but then you have to figure out how do you then manage as a book club grows.
Well, this may be a little bit non-relevant, but I guess what we have done for it is we wanted to reduce the amount of people in individual book clubs, but we don't want to kick people out of the book club in entirety. Mm. But if there's only one book club a month, then more people are going to join it. And so we started coming up with a way to foster community-led book clubs that don't have us in it, where they can schedule their own, have, you know, debate which one to do, and self-managed. What that did end up doing is people that maybe don't want to listen to the official book club, they don't want to read that one.
The read-along with you and I. That one.
Exactly. They go, hey, that book's really not my style. Or another book that's being hosted that month in the community is more interesting to them, they'll go to that one instead. So more book clubs, but each one of them, smaller amount of people.
Yep.
And in general, like, that is true. I think like a solid number that you start getting diminishing returns is somewhere around like 10. After 10, it becomes far more challenging to manage a book club that way.
Yeah.
But that's our experience. We have had very well thought out, well executed, and like really fun book clubs of 50 people. I was very impressed with us. That was a good sign of that. I think that was Lions.
No, there are several. It was Cahill when he came. We'll get into that for our step five of hosting discussion. We will go into how do you manage 50 people versus 5 people versus 10. There's different ways to do it. That's a great point you made. Yeah, go ahead.
These are the exclusivity of it. To apply it to other people, because we have a Patreon and not everyone's going to do that, of course. But some type of barrier to entry. Mm-hmm. The whole point of the $10 is it's the fastest, easiest way to ensure investment into the community of like that person is not just some rando or wants to cause chaos. They're willing to pay $10 to join, probably has good intentions, especially at our level in YouTube and online community. For you listening, maybe it's if you have it in person, maybe if you sign up for the book club, you're a part of it, you have to contribute X percentage the snacks that are present at the book club, or everyone rotates of hosting the book club at their house. It giving some investment of like, oh, you have to do something to be a part of it. If you're online, I think some type of quiz, some type of coming up with some rules to create that investment where it's not just free to join, free and easy. So if it's not monetary, come up with something else.
Yes. Have something creative. Yeah, that's a good idea. Snacks is a great one. And so I think to apply that of what we did, of if we had, I guess, what would you see the negatives of an online community book club where you see this in apps such as Fable, of anybody can join the book club and start to conversate? I've noticed that you'll have a lot more members. You'll have thousands, tens of thousands, but then the actual people that talk about it is in the single digits.
Yeah.
Or 20s, you know. And so that will be that is our definite advice for have some sort of gatekeeping method.
Yeah. And it really only takes it it is amazing how like a large group of people, a community can be severely harmed, not in the sense of like people are actually hurt, but in the sense of the community itself will stop talking as much. All it takes is one really negative person to kind of throw things off, and where people will be hesitant, not afraid, or just uncomfortable talking in group chats with them present, or in they don't feel open to speak their mind in the text chat if this person is there. It doesn't take much. It is amazing what happens if you just prune the hedges a little bit, just prune out the sharp points that are causing pain points in the community, generally flourishes. Now, you can go too far with that. Like, we at least like to foster generally open conversation. As long as people are respectful, say whatever. You can have whatever opinion you want. It's fine.
Yeah,
just be respectful. Mm-hmm. We don't like people that are bullies and belligerent.
Yeah, that's the additional thing on top of the gatekeeping, is set rules for what's the code of conduct. How should you act? Obviously, if you are at a local community book club and you are in person hosting a book club, you will likely not run into any of these issues 99 out of 100 times, because it's The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt describes that online social media presence, it's disembodied, whereas in person it's embodied, where that social engagement, it's a lot more daring to say something in person than online between a screen, where people are more likely to get aggressive, etc. But that point of the rules you make in your book club then is, don't be afraid of, hey, even if someone's paying you $10 a month, even if something's happening here, if it affects the community in a certain way and you feel that way, then you obviously it's your community. So
yeah,
read the community how you want.
There's that aspect, but also rules are more important the more people there are. The fewer there are, the amount, then it's not as important.
Exactly.
But I also want to caution that there is the reverse side of things, because we've experienced it, where the community is kind of ganging up on an individual. And it's not, maybe that individual is a point of contention, but ultimately they're not doing anything wrong. It's the community, like the mob is kind of attacking them. In the same way, you have to prune the community. Like, you have to kind of don't just remove the inconvenient person, actually stand up for something, like have some clear rules and like who's actually the instigator, who's actually the bully. If it's the many people, then you punish them. If it's the one, the few, you punish them.
And this is a big digress, because people watching this aren't going to have the issue of 260 members and how to weed that.
Yeah.
So that's a part of scaling and how to have rules of conduct.
It's just something I wish we knew.
Yeah, no, that it's important to mention.
We had to, the amount of rules we had to add. And it's like, well, I remember the early days of it was just like,
well, there's no rules.
Whatever.
Just say stuff. And then as soon as we got into the hundreds, then we're going, oh God, we need to, how do we handle all this? And if we didn't have admins or mods the whole time, and now we got Coop, Salty, and Summer all helping out. And that was very helpful as well. Having if it scales as well, having people to help moderate is also the big advice to do. But do you want to go step three of now that's the, how do you find members, create a gateway, a gatekeep, barrier to entry, but now actually how does the book club function? Okay. Nothing like to ramble. We're 20 something minutes in. Now we're gonna tell you how to make this thing work. Book selection process. Okay, that's the first part of how to select a book, the how and what, and how frequent to do it.
Yeah. I have heard positive things on the way we have kind of finally landed on our book selection process. Other YouTubers do a variety of different ways of selecting for their book club. Ours is, I don't know, kind of particular, and some would say anal retentive. But, you know, our process is throughout the month during the book. So let's say the month of April, we have a book club selected that'll be at the end of the month. During that month, people can write pitches. And so they will put in Discord, you're allowed to do posts in a like community post kind of thing. And they post the book title, book image, and they say what's cool about it, what they want, people will react to it and like talk in those comments like, oh, this sounds really cool, I'm really interested in this book. Anyway, so
have submission rules, of course. Our submission rules are it has to be a book one of a series. You can't do book twos, threes, fours, because everybody has to be able to read it, or a standalone.
Yep.
So create rules for, okay, don't just assume people have read five books of Molasin and now book six, because then obviously it's not fair to people.
And same thing with niching down. If it's a sci-fi fantasy book club, say it's got to be sci-fi fantasy.
Yep.
We have it where, you know, community book clubs can kind of be anything. If you want to do it, you can. But for our official once a month book club, sci-fi fantasy.
We've done a little historical fiction.
We blur the line, but it's in the realm generally.
Speculative fiction for sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we do. We have, so throughout the month, people are submitting ideas for the book club. And then we, at the end of the month, after our April book club, the next day, we have a pitch meeting where the top 10, or now it's the top five books that were reacted to, the top five books that had the biggest amount of engagement.
So you just upvoted. Which had the most YouTube comment likes or Reddit upvotes? That's how it works in Discord.
Yeah. Then we talk about it. Each person who pitched it gets to come up into the call, give their pitch, say, hey, this is a separate call
from the actual book club.
Yeah. Hey, here's what the book's about. Here's why I like it. Here's why I think it'll bring a good discussion. Some people will bring presentations, PowerPoints, a video, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then we try and make it quick. 5 minutes and under is ideal. And then we go through all five. And then afterward, 24 hours to vote. That one wins. We went through a lot of tiny changes of, we had people vote on 10. So had people choose 1 out of 10. We had people choose, like, you get 3 votes. You can pick between, you know, multiple books and the one that works.
And I select, people pitched books and we just picked the 3 and said, okay, you guys get to vote on these 3. We tried a bunch of variations of this.
But ultimately, we came down to the idea of making it a little bit simpler and removing some degree of choice. So the first round is all people's pitches. And then through soft voting of upvotes and likes, the top 5 people vote on. When it was top 10, there were just too many options. And again, don't give people a lot of choices. Choices are the bane of decision making. Limit choices. So 5 seems to be a good enough number that most people are pretty happy. We found when we had 10.
Too much.
Too many options. If a book got picked, a lot of people would be upset because things would win with like not even close.
20% of the vote, of small plurality.
Or 15.
Like, yeah.
Because it was just so evenly spread. Mm. So with 5, there's generally a clear winner. Mm-hmm. And it just generally helps people's overall satisfaction. So I would say what we did and to apply is try to limit choices, and then the ultimate decision is between a small handful of books if you're doing a democratic process.
Yeah.
If you're not, and it's a small, like, 5-10 people group, and you just want to rotate, that person gets to pick the next book the next month, whatever. Run it how you like, but this is how we do it.
And how we've done it, I know other booktubers, after we've collabed with them, mm-hmm. ask us afterwards or have calls with us of how do we run our Patreon and our book club, because they've been having problems with engagement, getting people to join it. All these things that we're giving advice on, we've given to booktubers who have asked. And I don't want to name drop them because why not? But other booktubers that you've seen us collab with, many people, this is one of the big things that I know we differ from other book clubs as well, because some spin a wheel and select a book and then read along with the community. Others do have other variations of how to select a book. This one we found, hey, people during the month of reading a book, let's say it's a book they're really bummed about, and I don't want to do that April book club. Well, we have options of the community book clubs to join. And on top of the options of the community book clubs, so let's say one of those 5 loses that you really wanted to read, well, you could still make a community book club. Plus, the thing Rich and I offer is we don't just join the official book club. We'll also join other book clubs. So usually in a month, we're doing at least 2. sometimes three, four. But for example, we're doing a classic book club read along with Q, hey Q, and others. So we did Pride and Prejudice. We're doing Monte Cristo outside of the actual book club thing.
Community book club for me was Lonesome Dove, which still to this day is probably my favorite book club experience that we've had in like awesome. 2 years. It was not only the book, I enjoyed our discussion so much about it. So I very fond thoughts and memories about it. But ultimately, that whole selection process of people submitting their potential book club for the month and throughout the month, what that does is people with the upvotes and people talking in the comments, people will kind of, before even the vote comes out, they'll be like, maybe there'll be five people that are really down for it. They clearly see, hey, it's not going to be picked as one of the things to be voted on, but they can set up a community book club right there. Mm-hmm. And so it facilitates further book club creation, not just our official one.
Also, the neat thing, and obviously it's the advantage of us having a platform, people want to
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. It prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.
Pitch a book to Rich and I often, and they know we'll also review it on the channel, whichever one gets picked. So that's an additional benefit to whichever book gets selected. But on top of that, what the pitches do is if April's book club, someone's bummed out about it, they join other community book clubs, but in that April's month, they can pitch a book that month that they hope wins. So they're talking to other people saying, hey, upvote mine so I could pitch it to the group when it comes to the end of the month so we can read it for May,
which
whatever month
incentivizes, you know, community and actual interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. People actually talk instead of just a kind of anonymous voting in the first phase. It's very communal.
Yep.
Which fosters friendships.
And I would, to answer the how frequent question to that, we do it once a month for the official book club. We find that's the time, 30 days or so, 4 weeks is about the time it takes for some readers will finish it in 2 days. Others will take the month and give time. But that's about the pace that we do with our book club. Obviously, if it's more intense, you could do every 2 weeks, especially if that's your only book club book you're doing. You could do every 2 months. If it's, I know, Kristen Mads, for example, from Christian Mads, their channel, they did a Lord of the Rings readathon. It took 4 or 6 months, something like that, where they did chapter by chapter, week to week or something, breakdowns. And that was how they wanted to dive deep into Lord of the Rings. That was their thing. So mileage may vary with that. We do the once a month because we can get into our next step here, which is the actual read-along process for step four.
Yep.
So yeah, step four, the read-along process itself of this is not, the book is selected and the discussion is being set for a month from that day. So what happens between day one and day 30 where we actually talk about the book, the read-along? What do we do?
So this was an additional ad that we kind of worked through in this whole process.
Shout out to Coop, because Coop without Coop, who I hate, without Coop, none of this would have garnered and developed into what it was now, because we did not know what we were doing.
I believe this came about from a conversation with Coop that I had at lunch about it.
Yeah.
So shout out to Coop there. Yes. But the whole system is we basically have a text, like a chat room breakdown through chapter grouping. So our admin goes through and sees, hey, there's 50 chapters in the book, breaks it down into five chapter
1 through 10, 11 through 20, 21 through 30, 31 through 40, 40, good point.
And then at the very end, a full spoiler chat, and then at the very beginning, a, you know, no spoilers chat of people who haven't started reading it yet and, like, their thoughts going in. So that way people can communicate while in there what their thoughts are at the time in the section.
Yep.
And it just allows for, during the month, some actual interactions and people reacting to certain scenes. It leads to more people being invested coming to the end of the book club.
Mm-hmm. And especially because if you finish the book super quickly, and you could just jump right to the spoiler section, see other people that have already finished all the book.
Yeah.
But then if you finish at a certain point and you're at chapter 7, but something happens in chapter 7 you have to talk about, or you're curious what others think, maybe you're not liking it and thinking about DNFing, and you say, hey, the book's not doing it for me. I'm at chapter 7. I kind of want to finish. Does it get better? And then people who have read it further can look at that and say, yeah, it's worth it. Or you're not going to just stop now. So that can help. And we also have the ability on Discord. This is, I don't know if other locations do this, other online platforms, but Discord, you can spoiler tag.
Yep. That really helps. Well.
That really helps, because even in the chapter 1 through 10 section, let's say one person's on chapter 3, the other person is on chapter 10. Well, we have a rule in the community. In Discord, there's a way to block out your text, spoiler tag it, so you have to click on the text to reveal it. And so it comes up as black, blank text. And before that, the person will say, hey, I'm on chapter 3, and then spoiler tag, da-da-da-da-da-da. People that have read chapter 3 can click on that and read it
and
to participate.
The assumption moving forward into each one is if you're in the chat room for 11 to 20... 1 through 10 is fair game, and you don't need to spoiler tag anything 1 through 10.
But 11 through 20, spoiler tag. You know?
Just in case someone who's there is on 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so progressively as it goes on, you don't have to spoil tag as much, and it's a little bit easier to talk as you go along.
Yes. And that's the big thing for engagement, and to apply that to whatever you might be doing, I would recommend having some sort of process where you can break down section by section, because if it's all if all the discussion is just kind of waited until the end, the community will be more engaged and more likely to be invested in the eventual hosting of the discussion, which is step 5 of our 6 steps. Step 5 is hosting the discussion. What do you actually do? It's day 30. Everybody comes to talk about the book. We have a lot of experience with this because our size has varied from just Rich and I and 2 others at the beginning days to Rich and I and 50 others hosting for 50 others. And 55, I think, was the most we've had in one book club, 55, 56. And how have we gone about that? What would you say, starting small, starting with the 4 or 5 members and then scaling up as we went?
I feel like I've been the one going forward this whole time. So What do you think? What do we actually do?
Well, what Rich and I
throw
do,
you the mic.
what Rich and I do when the book club first started was 4 or 5 people. It's the easiest thing ever. It's everybody just talk about the book like you would on a podcast. What do you think about this? What do you think about this? Now, the way Rich and I host book club discussions is loosely framed on how we do reviews of we'll talk emotional impact, thought provokingness, plot, character, da da da. But mainly what we'll do, what I found we've done with book club discussions, is whatever was most important in the book. So sometimes there's ones where we're not going to talk about prose with the group for an hour. So Blood Over Brighthaven, when we read that book, we focused on thought provokingness. The themes and message was 2 hours of the conversation. Then we weaved in a bit of character work, da da da. But the point of that being is hosting the book club, Rich and I are moderators. In a sense. So we obviously, how we start every book club is we give our quick 2-minute thoughts of this is why I rated the book. This is what I think. And then from there, your job as the book club host is to make sure discussion is rampant. You want people who want to participate are participating. And the way we did that with a small group of people is very easy to just say, hey, what'd you think? What'd you think? Go back and forth. It's more so a thing with scale and size. What we've learned is that when you get to 10 people, 11 people, 12 people, no matter how big the book club gets, there's going to be a majority of people that we found who don't want to talk in the voice chat and participate in the book club. They're more there to listen in.
Either they want to listen or it's due to shyness of speaking in front of that many people. Certainly, possibly a factor. There's a host of different reasons. Mm-hmm. But yeah, as we found going on, there's the non-participating listeners kind of increases the larger the group gets.
Yes. And so big thing with that is after, you know, you have your thoughts on the book. What I would say as the book club host, a good thing to do is have the right questions to ask or have the right things to point a particular scene that would cause a lot of discussion, because Rich and I have read book club books where there's some that aren't heavy in discussion.
Yeah.
Kings of the Wild was a book we read, which I didn't think was bad. It was fine book. But that's what it is. It's a D&D fighting, not a lot to discuss. So it's sometimes you got to focus on the things of what a book club book should inherently be something that is worthy of discussion. Fun books are still worthy of discussion. Most of the time you want to focus on the things that where would people have different interpretations or disagree. That's a big thing that's fun about book clubs, of different opinions, instead of everybody just nodding their heads going, yeah. It's kind of, we make fun of them a lot, which I do because it's endearingly. I really respect his takes. Levy, who is a great contributor to the conversation, because he'll have a thing that someone disagrees with or have a statement that will cause conversation. So throughout the book club, find people that you know are good discussion provocateurs.
Oh, and your contrarians are valuable.
Very valuable.
There's a type of contrarian where, like, there's the contrarian and they're just kind of an asshole.
Right. There's, and like, there's Levy and there's Levy, Rich.
And then there's, yeah. Austin will tell you which one's the asshole here. Or which one's the dick. But no, like, that's actually very important. Mm. You want confrontation, but you want it in a nice, healthy way. People are not just kind of like people that are willing to speak their mind and willing to be challenged and not be offended by everyone like disagreeing with them and be like, hey, this is what I think. Mm-hmm. It's fine if you disagree, but here's what I think.
Strong opinions loosely held. We've been saying that quote a lot lately. Just what Rich did when we were talking about, hey, step five. Rich noticed, hey, I've been starting all the steps. What do you think?
Yeah.
So that's what it's about. It's obviously conversating, and you've seen us do interviews on here. We've also done interviews, discussions in the book club where we had Adrian Gibson who wrote Mushroom Blues. We had Ryan Cahill of Blood and Fire, who joined the book club discussion with the Discord, and obviously they deeply valued that, but those authors provided a cool, unique space for the community to ask questions and be direct with. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to use the word proud, but I'm deeply grateful for the community that we've built along with the admins and Coop and Salty Summer and everybody that has built, because the book club discussions inside and outside the book club have always been very rewarding, in the sense of when Ryan Cahill came in and Adrian Gibson came in, I was very impressed with how the community handled asking questions, and even people who didn't like the book or did like the book. And on top, just the community's
very, incredibly respectful and but not sycophants, you know, we're willing to challenge, but still respectful.
Yes.
But also I just thought it was really cool of having a book, like hosting an online book club, and then having our discussion about a book, and then having the author come in afterward into our Discord for a live Q&A session. Mm. I was always like, this is cool. This is like, that's the fun.
Yes.
That's the experience that you really can't get to, like, just reading on Reddit. That's something you gotta pay $10 for.
Hey, it might be 11 after this video. I don't know. Now, that's another thing that we've looked at, too, of talking about how,
it's just business philosophy of if you charge more, you better provide more value.
Exactly. Like,
don't ask for money, provide something of worth, and then take money for it.
For example, here's the going, anything else for hosting discussion? Because then the last step is very important as well.
Lastly is being willing to, of course, you want to open up discussion for people who haven't talked to give them a space to talk, but sometimes they won't, and it's okay. Like, you don't need to pressure people, but it is kind of good to, there'll be people that will talk the most, and let them, they're great. But every once in a while, you kind of go, hey, you've talked a lot. Let's
open it up,
Yep. And you need to, if you're the host, you need to kind of put a pause on some of the energetic people, give the space for people who are a little bit more shy and not willing to interrupt. And so that's kind of important. Even if no one does pop up in that set or just one or two, it's important to just leave that space just so people are aware that you do that. So maybe in that moment, someone who's not willing to speak right then knows that, oh, they will in the future pause and give me a breath to actually speak. And so they can prepare something in a more comfortable environment. So that's important to do.
Definitely true. Definitely. And again, try to narrow this advice down, because if you're looking to start a book club or function yours, I imagine it's not starting with 50 members at once in a call. So in those much smaller groups, 4 people, 5 people, 6 people, have that, just maybe go in there with some questions in mind you have for people, some of your takes or hot takes on the book that would spark conversation. So come up with, if you're nervous about hosting a book club, just come prepared with a couple of things that you know will spark conversation and good questions to ask. And then other than that, it's a conversation. So have fun with it. And then the most important step is step 6, feedback. And what we mean by feedback, it's not being afraid to change anything, but especially, you brought up something just in the last step about, you know, let's say tomorrow we said, no, it's $25 to join the book club. Well, we better damn have a lot more to offer, because $10 is our price. We're not changing that right now. And the only reason we would is if we have so many members, if we just need to cut, because if our book clubs are getting the hundreds of people and it's losing the point of a book club, there is a number too high to where you need to narrow your
base. The two reasons that we would actually change our price is not monetarily, really. It's if the number becomes so big that the book clubs are just kind of unruly and like, we can't really...
People can't participate.
If there's 100 people in the book club, it's not as good. Like, you're not getting the same value out of it. It's at that point kind of like a lecture, and it's not as intimate, which is kind of what a book club really is for. 50 is pushing it. In all honesty, like, we're managing it as best we can, but that's pretty high on its own. So that is a reason to increase the price deliberately to move people out, make it more exclusive, because we know like the consequence of that is less people, and that's what we would want. The other is if we provide something of great value, of like, hey, we're doing a lot of extra work and we're providing, like, if we're able to do almost every time an author shows up for the book club, I would say that's increased value on top of what
Ryan Cahill offered an arc for the book that wasn't released yet to the
everyone
in the book club got an arc for the next book, which is just cool value. But obviously, those are the two things. And part of that feedback. Oh, also, I want to mention, in the discussion where we had 55 people, only a dozen actually spoke a significant amount. So even though the number might be intimidating, you'd be surprised to see a lot of people are there to just hang and listen. And that's totally fine. And also, there's a chat box, not just a voice chat, but you can type where a lot more people interact. And so when you're hosting a book club discussion, also look at that and interact with those people so that their voice is also included in the discussion and bringing up those points. But with the feedback, the important thing you brought up was the give and take of, if you're going to increase price, what are you giving in return? One thing that we initially had with our book club when we first started over two years ago, whenever it was, we had a book club every month, but also a movie watch party every month, because back in the day with Tudor Ramble, we did shows and movies. We didn't niche down totally to books quite yet. And so we had movie watch parties every 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks after would be a book club, then 2 weeks later would be a movie. Well, we figured out at a certain point that Rich and I just didn't want to keep doing the movie reactions and watch parties.
At least not consistently.
Yeah, we weren't as enthused by it, but also we found that less people were participating in those. And we had one with, shout out Jangle. We watched, what movie was it we watched? We had a movie watch party early on with Jangle. And it was a fun time. The Menu. Was it The Menu?
It was The Menu. Great that, movie.
That movie's amazing.
That was a good time.
That was such a fun time.
It was just the movie watch party with Jangle. That's all it was.
And then we were just watching, laughing along. We're like, Jangle, what's up, man? He's like, hey. So it was awesome. It was a great time. But the point was people weren't using the movie watch party as much. We're a book channel. On top of that, we weren't finding it as interesting as the book stuff.
At the same time, we were also moving the channel away from doing movies niching. And TV shows that we were niching down to books. And so we're like, okay, if we're niching down the channel to books, are we really going to do the movie watch party?
Exactly.
But we didn't want to take that away and do nothing because that's taking away value and still charging the same amount. So we either need to lower the price or provide extra value to make up for it.
So what we did, and we've seen us do this on this channel, this is what we try to do all the time. And the book club side, we took away movie watch parties and we added community book clubs. That's what we did. So instead of just only Rich and I hosting things where we have movie watch party and we have book club, well, now anybody can host a book club and people host game nights, movie watch parties. Rich and I host game nights. But we just did a chess game night the other day. You missed. It was great.
But the big thing we did is it's not just we let people do it and just kind of let it run. No, we facilitated it. It was a lot more management, like figuring out how to structure it and provide an actual platform to make it easier for people to start the book club. Because that is the value we provide, is a platform to facilitate.
If there's a certain number of people that are in that community book club, one of the admins, Coop, Salty, Summer, will go in and create that same forum that we discussed with our official book club of having chapters 1 through 10, 11 through 20. Well, the admin will create that and then have a section where people can go discuss that book, have a hosted call, discuss it with them, and have fun with it. So the feedback that you get of, let's say, we've been through so many iterations of how we do the book club selection. So it's taking that feedback and going, okay, what's working? What's not? What do we not want to do and take away? What can we add and provide in value? But especially people might give feedback of, hey, I don't like how the book club selection's working. I don't like this. I don't like that. We've had a lot of that. Even with the current system, there's not going to be, you're not going to satisfy everybody because the book won't get picked. But we're at a point where I can't say we'd want to change very much, if at all, because also the feedback we're getting from everybody is nobody has complained at this point. We've kind of weeded out any issues there can be in the system.
Yeah.
Of just because we've taken feedback, used that to change the system a bit. And so everybody that's in, there's always going to be something, but for the most part, it has been well oiled.
The process and all the little details that we provide in the discussion for this video was over 2 years of tweaks and alterations. When we first started, it was just the long, submit your book club and then vote on it. And one of the first few changes was, at first it was just open voting. So you could see, like, during the 24-hour period, which one was winning, which one was losing. And one of the few changes we did was made it anonymous voting. And so no one can see the results until it is done. Because what people would do is they would vote for an unpopular book, but then see that it was losing really badly. And so they don't want to waste their vote. And so they'll throw in their hat to a different category, the more popular book.
The American political system.
Yeah, we'll take that conversation and put it over here. But beyond that, we found that after we made it anonymous and you can't actually see the results till the end, people didn't know
which one's going to win.
And so sometimes you get surprising ones where the book that not everyone thought was going to be picked, enough people did. And they're like, where if they happen to see at the very beginning that within the first couple hours, that book wasn't getting a lot of traction, then they would have already shifted their vote and just moved the tide. So anonymous voting where people can't see the ongoing results was one of our first little changes that really improved the process.
Yes, definitely.
So feedback's important. Change.
Precisely. I think that covers about the six steps. Anything else that you had for how to function? I think that covers it.
Other than that, if you are a YouTuber, if you're like,
yes,
if you're leading this, especially in the beginning, this takes time and you need to be very present. Like the community, I think the most sensitive time for our community was the very beginning, because it was fostering the type of environment we wanted, of setting the example of the type of attitude, the type of people that we want, and to make sure that the people that we really do like and the kind of people we want in the community, make them feel welcome, make them feel important, make them feel necessary there, so they stick around and pass on that same energy to the next person that comes along. And now we have so many awesome people that they set the tone. And so we don't have to set the tone anymore for the community. The tone has been set.
I would say our admin Salty, he sets a certain tone.
He does.
He sets a certain tone. He sends some...
The admin you pick is important.
Raunchy stuff.
Well, no. Okay.
Salty was a fantastic pick for admin. I stand by
Salty pick
through and through.
We're free speechers. We like open discussion. We don't like kind of limiting people. Like, oh, you said something naughty or you said unpopular opinion. Begone. Like, for the most part, no. As long as you're respectful, say whatever the hell you want. Mm-hmm. But we picked Salty.
Well, we do have a rule of like, hey, don't bring up direct politics and stuff just because it's a book club.
That is also something for our book club. That was a rule. No politics unless it's directly in reference to a book.
Book stuff, yeah.
Don't talk about modern politics. That is not relevant for the book club. It's not. It just fosters
the
wrong environment.
Also, the community is so tight that everybody's friends and just whatever's happening, you'll talk about just naturally. Yeah. So it's a thing of just going, hey, it's still book club. Go talk about it with your friends.
Keep it to the DMs. Like, you can make your own.
It hasn't been in it. It's come up once or twice. I think it's come up, but nobody's been. We've never had to ban anybody for like, oh, bringing up. I mean, there was one situation where somebody left, and then we went, okay, we gotta figure out how to structure this specifically. Yeah. So,
but anyway,
yeah.
Point being, the reason why we picked Salty is he was the limit of like. We kind of had in our mind of like, what's the edge? what's the extreme that we want? Like, what's our boundary of the type of person we want in the community? Salty is it. He's our fence.
If anyone's going to get banned, okay. Well, if they're worse than Salty, then
they
got to get banned.
They got to go.
Because you can't be sexist, racist. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. But we've really liked Salty. And yes, you too, Coop. So
Coop's just a bit more mild-mannered. He's the reason
it functions.
He's the reason it functions.
Salty
he's
is the
like
reason.
The center. He's like the ideal. Salty is the extreme that is acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And then Summer's just great. Summer's just a ray of sunshine that likes our humor.
Well, Summer cool. So the admin team looks good. Summer's just so they looked at Coop, Salty, and Summer going, okay, at least somebody up there knows what they're doing.
okay.
Yeah.
Tiny lesson to learn.
Yes.
If you have, men and women in community, gender dynamics, possible. That understandable. Young woman doesn't want to talk to the young man in the admin team over some inappropriate interactions. Wants another woman to talk to. So probably if you have women in your group, should have a woman admin in your team, just to make it a little bit easier. At first, the book club starts off. It's mostly guys. Mm-hmm. Our first woman in the group was Mads, and she's one of the boys.
She's DNA tested. She's a man.
She's a man.
Curtis, this is back when we did the movie clubs, and we would have movie watch parties, and we would let the patrons pick the movie watch party. By the way, Curtis and Mads are two of the friends who we met in Dragonsteel and we're in Salt Lake City with Airbnb. Curtis decides to show us the movie. He says it's so interesting and the ending is just so fascinating. It's got all these, it's a Denis Villeneuve movie. And it's the movie called Enemy. And we'd watched movies with Curtis beforehand. And Mads joined the group. She was like our, 20th member or something like that. And then Curtis shows, yeah, guys, it's just really thought-provoking. Start showing us the movie. The first minute or 2 minutes is sexual, spiders, creepy. It did not look good as a unit. Just, I didn't like being there.
And yeah, so, it was a bunch of guys. And like Mads like, hey, guys, I just joined. And like right on screen was just
nudity
and weird spider alien stuff. It was like, all right. This is a tone.
Yeah.
This
is. And then I think after that scene, Curtis pauses and just says, I am so sorry. I totally forgot about that.
I thought this was a sausage fest. I didn't know.
He apparently forgot that section of the movie.
Forgot.
Convenient.
But point being, if you have women in your book club, probably a good idea to add a woman to the admin team if you didn't already have one. So,
yeah, because look, would you, if you are in need for help, would you go to that face for help?
No.
Rich, come on, give yourself some credit. Be like, yes.
I wouldn't go to me.
Well, that anything else for book club stuff? I think that, wow, that we almost convinced you all to watch an hour advertisement for our book club. If you want to join our book club, look at the top of the link in the description below where we don't have to describe it because you just spent an hour listening to how we function ours. But on a more serious note,
if you have further questions down below, put it in the comments. We'll try and respond and smaller details we didn't cover in the video.
Yeah, precisely. This was more of a we can't do many how to's or how we function this. The things we can say how we do is how do we run a podcast? How do we run a book club? We can't say, hey, how do we read books better than people? Because it's,
we don't.
Yeah,
ask Jared Henderson or there's Philip other Chase. Reviewers. They read better.
We're on our journey to read more.
Yeah,
but that's what we can provide is our small corner of expertise with an asterisk, and hopefully that was some value to you all. But okay, Rich.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Ready to roll into savings? Visit Dave Gill Chevrolet at 4700 East Broad Street in Columbus, your hometown Chevy experts. Right now, take advantage of tariff-busting deals on some of our most popular models. Experience the bold new 2025 Silverado 1500 with its powerful V8 engine and cutting-edge tech. Or discover the all-electric 2025 Chevy Equinox EV for an eco-friendly commute without compromising style or range. Looking for value? Browse our extensive inventory of certified pre-owned vehicles. From sporty coupes to family-friendly SUVs, each rigorously inspected for your peace of mind. Cruise over to Dave Gill Chevrolet or visit us online today at DaveGillChevy.com and drive home happy.